WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
5 years of playing minor league baseball never got Ron Shelton into the majors, but 17 years later, the experience helped him make a hit film. Shelton wrote and directed Bull Durham, about a team in the Carolina League. Shelton played second base in the Baltimore Orioles farm system. He batted .260 for Rochester during his last year. I asked Ron Shelton how serious he was about baseball.
I was very serious. I'm serious about any career I'm involved in. I lived for baseball from the time I was a small boy. Probably went to college because of sports. And couldn't imagine getting through a week without having several games to play.
You played second base, right?
I played second base professionally, shortstop in college. And, you can't play this game. It's a very hard game, and you can't play it at the professional level without a total commitment. So when I quit playing at the age of 25, it was not taken lightly. It was the end of a dream.
When you played, were you good?
Of course. Professional, you don't sign out of high school or college unless you're good enough that some major league team doesn't invest money in your development and in your future. You are an investment. It's a business. I was good enough to play to make my living at the sport for several years.
Now, Bull Durham is about a veteran minor league catcher who's really intelligent but is not a natural talent, and he has to train. I mean, he's not a brilliant natural talent, and he has to train a young pitcher who's a natural as far as his arms goes, but he's also kind of a dope. And I was wondering if you ever experienced that kind of frustration of breaking in someone who wasn't nearly as smart, as perceptive as you were, but had more natural talent.
No, but I would like to correct that I'm not. The Crash Davis, Kevin Costner character, is not me and is not autobiographical. I think there's a little me in Crash, and there's a little me in Nuke, the kid, and there's a little me in Annie, the woman. The setup of the movie is kind of an archetypal, classic, even conventional, young player, old player, woman in between. And in terms of verisimilitude, I frequently was on teams in the minor leagues where a veteran player would be sent down to help a young player and would do it reluctantly, but because they are professional, after all, would do it the best they could. So I never was involved in that exact situation, but I saw it around me a lot.
When you were in the minor leagues, did you read more than the other players?
I read more than some. I probably read different things, that's all. And ball players, I think, have a reputation for being sort of dumb and uneducated that's really outdated. In the 20s and 30s, ball players were uneducated and frequently were dropouts and were working-class immigrants, a lot of Polish ball players and, of course, the Irish ball players. And I think that's changed a lot. Ball players now frequently go to college, and whether you go to college or not, I think that they're no more or less educated than almost any other working class environment.
Now, you said that there's part of you in the Crash Davis character, and I wonder if this is part of it. When he's up at bat, he's always thinking to himself that he has to stop thinking, and that thinking gets in the way of actually playing, of actually batting anyways. Did you have to turn off thinking when you were at bat?
That part is true, yes. I think all ballplayers tend to think too much. All athletes tend to think too much, and I think I tend to think too much. And as a writer and director, I have to give myself that instruction. Don't think too much. You prepare for what you're doing, whether it's to make a movie or to play a baseball game or to run a talk show or be a journalist, and then once you're in the middle of it, you have to submit to the rhythms and the instincts and the intuitions of the moment. And in that, that's, I suppose, where the zen aspects of athletic competition comes up. You have to use your brain to not use your brain.
Did you expect to get into the majors when you were playing?
You always believe that it's possible, and that keeps you going. I mean, expectations are crazy. I never expected to be able to direct a film. Uh-huh. I never expected I'd sell a script. I didn't think any film I wanted to make or that I wrote would anybody ever want to invest money in, but I kept doing it because I believed in the process. So yes, I thought I was good enough to make the big leagues, and I thought I was good enough to write scripts to make into movies. But you, that's not why you do it. You do it because you believe in the game, you believe in storytelling, you believe in baseball, whatever it is. You believe in journalism.
What did you leave baseball?
The low and away slider ate me up. I mean, that's a glib answer, but it's not entirely untrue. I had trouble hitting the breaking ball away. At the end of my 5 years, I was learning to hit the ball to right field, which all good hitters have to be able to do. But beyond that, I'd made a commitment to play 5 years professionally, and if I wasn't in the major leagues, I was going to quit because I didn't want to turn into the Kevin Costner character who's been 12 years in the minors. And I literally quit in 1972 when the first baseball strike hit. And I did not think about baseball until many years later when I did this movie.
You know, in your movie, you get the sense that for a lot of people, life after the minor leagues is going to mean a job at Sears or opening a small pool hall or a small bar. You managed to leave the minors and eventually get into filmmaking. How did you do it?
A long story that is pretty boring and would take hours. In effect, I was a movie nut. From baseball days on, I would go to every movie. You know, you go into town for a six-day road trip, I'd go to the different show every day in the multiplex theater, whether it was a, you know, G-rated or X-rated. I just became addicted to movies. And along the way, I was writing largely unpublishable fiction, and occasionally getting a short story in some obscure journal that nobody's ever heard of. And about 9 years ago, like everybody else in Los Angeles, I said, I can do that. And I sat down and wrote a screenplay and I was shocked to find out that people would actually pay me to do this. And it's sort of been, you know, if you can't make a living playing baseball, this is the next best thing. I'm delighted that I can make my living doing this because I never feel I have any clue about where the pulse of the American public is.
But you seem to have a finger on it nevertheless.
I'm never expect to make a big hit, much less a summer hit. I'm just trying to tell a story and get enough money together to make it. And that happened in Bull Durham. And the fact that it's struck some chord is thrilling. You don't expect that, though.
You've said that after you left the minor leagues, you didn't pick up a bat until actually filming Bull Durham.
I meant by that I'd go to a couple of ball games a year, but I didn't play. Mm-hmm. I'd play basketball. I never played baseball. I couldn't play it at a softball level, at a picnic level. I mean, I did have too much respect for having played it at a fairly high level, and I couldn't goof around with the game. In that sense, I suppose I still was clinging to something, and in this movie, exercised a few demons. I mean, it certainly was a cathartic experience of, all right, I didn't make the big leagues, but here's a movie that belongs in the big leagues, you know? And I think with me, I just needed to clear my head and get into other parts of my life before I could go back and investigate those memories.
Has the making of Bull Durham united two parts of your life, the baseball part and the movie part, in a way that you thought they might never come together?
I don't think those were two parts of my life. Baseball was it was a game and an occupation and a love, but I don't think that, there's too many fragmented parts of my life to be so easily united by a movie.
Do you find now that a lot of people in the movie world know your baseball background, that a lot of men envy you for having, in a way, lived out their fantasy by having spent a few years in the minor leagues? And if so, I'm wondering if it ever felt to you like living out a fantasy, or if you were too busy trying to play the game well to think of it in those terms.
No, it's exactly that. You don't think you're living out a fantasy when you're playing baseball. Neither do you wax romantic or poetic or get lyrical and talk about mythology and backlight and all that. When you're playing baseball, you're trying to get a hit. You're trying to win the game. You're trying to make the play at second base. You're trying to make your living, and it's a high-pressure, very intense world. One only gets poetic when you get a lot of distance and start to get old. At least that's what I find.
On the next Fresh Air, Ron Shelton will discuss the making of Bull Durham, which he wrote and directed.
It's right by home plate. Don't look. Don't look.
Hey, what's going on?
You're breathing through the wrong friggin' eyelid again, dude.
Shut up. Excuse me.
You guys, I got a game to pitch here.
Hey, you guys, don't throw me anything. My girlfriend put a curse on my glove.
I'll take the hex off the friggin' glove. Give me the glove.
Well, then you gotta cut the head off a live rooster.
Come on, it's a play ball!
Excuse me, what the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster. Was it a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of stuff.
Okay, well, candlesticks always make a nice gift, and maybe we can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern. Okay, let's get to it.
This is Fresh Air.